නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ සම්මාදිට්ඨි ආනන්ද භාවිතා බහුලී කතා රාග විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති දෝෂ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති මෝහ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති තී. Dear Dhamma friends, we are discussing various suttas in this session in order to get a lot of insights to our practice, a lot of guidance to our practice. And as a result, nowadays we are discussing about the Noble Eightfold Path. And actually I have taken a particular sutta in order to get some guidance for the Noble Eightfold Path. And that sutta is called Brahmana Sutta, or sometimes it is called as Janussoni Brahmana Sutta. So it is available in Sanyutta Nikaya, Magga Sanyutta. And as you can see in the document which I have shared, so this is a kind of an occasion where Venerable Ananda visits Shravasti for Pindapata, for alms round. And at that time he saw the Brahmin Janussoni going through the roads of the Shravasti city with an entirely white horse chariot. So this chariot is quite special and it is entirely white. So Brahmin Janussoni's whole clothes are white, his sandals are white, and the horses used in the chariot are also white, the whole canopy also white, and the upholstery also white, and the person who was actually, that is the charioteer, also wearing white clothes. So likewise the whole chariot as well as the people inside are wearing white. So therefore people were quite surprised to see this sight, and they were exclaimed, and they were talking that this is really a divine type of chariot, divine vehicle, Brahma vehicle, and it is indeed a beautiful sight to see. It is marvelous. So likewise they are praising this particular white color chariot. So this was noticed by Venerable Ananda, and once he come back to the Jetavanarama, he put this as a note that he has observed during his Pindapata. And then he invite the Buddha, is it possible, Bande, for you to connect this kind of a chariot with the Dhamma? So this is a kind of a invitation that Venerable Ananda put him forward to the Buddha, and there Buddha accepted that invitation, and there Buddha says the divine vehicle, or the vehicle of the Dhamma, or the unsurpassed vehicle for the victory of the battle is a name for Noble Eightfold Path. So if I refer the Buddha's words, Brahmayanang itipi, Dhammayanang itipi, Anuttaro Sangama Vijayo itipi. So there is a Brahmayana, that is the kind of a divine vehicle, we can say the vehicle of the Brahmans, the Brahma realm, or the divine vehicle, and the Dhamma vehicle, and again a vehicle which can be used to completely destroy the defilements and going to the other shore. So this is the kind of a vehicle, and that vehicle is nothing but this Noble Eightfold Path. And there Buddha mentioned, if one practice Sammāditti, the right view, he is able to remove lust. Again, he is able to remove hatred. And again, he is able to remove delusion. So we were discussing the first part. This is the Sammāditti, the right view. And last time, actually, I have given a lot of emphasis for Kamma. Now, in order to see more details about right view, I am referring another sutta. It is in the Majjhima Nikaya. It is called Mahachattarisaka Sutta. So there are also Buddha discuss in many different ways about the Noble Eightfold Path. And there, when he is discussing Sammāditṭhi, there he mentioned, Sammāditṭhim pāham bhikkhave dvayaṁ vadāmi. Monks, I am telling that the Sammāditṭhi, right view, is twofold. What are they? Atti bhikkhave Sammāditṭhi, sāsavā puñña bhāgiyā upadi vepakkā. There is right view that is affected by taints, partaking of merit, and again ripening in the acquisitions. And there's a second type of Sammāditṭhi, Ariya Anāsava Lokuttara Magganga. There's a second type of Sammāditṭhi, right view, which is noble, taintless, supramundane, and a factor of the path. So these are the two fold Sammāditṭhi that Buddha is teaching. Now, first of all, we need to therefore recognize what is the first kind of Sammāditṭhi, that is the one still affected by taints, but partaking of merits, and again ripening in the acquisitions, upadi vepakka. Now, this is the area that we are discussing right now. So, first of all, therefore, we need to establish ourselves at least in this first type of Sammāditṭhi. So, we can't really thrive on the second type if we are not well established in the first type. So sometimes people immediately try to go to the supramundane type of Sammāditṭhi, forgetting the first type. So they can try for supramundane Sammāditṭhi, but slowly they need to recognize the value of the first type of Sammāditṭhi. So therefore, exploring the facts or details of the first type of Sammāditṭhi is quite relevant. And that appear very much like a very good foundation in order to maintain the supramundane type of Sammāditṭhi. So without well-established mundane type of Sammāditṭhi, it is quite difficult for someone to maintain or to develop the Noble Eightfold Path. So therefore, first of all, we need to well-establish in the mundane type of Sammāditṭhi, Lokiya Sammāditṭhi. Now, what is this mundane type of Sammāditṭhi? So that Buddha give a kind of a direct answer in the same sutta, Mahācattārīsaka sutta. Katamācha bhikkhave Sammāditṭhi sāsavā puñña bhāgiyā upadi vepakkā. So there are few adjectives here. Sāsavā, so it is with taints. It is not free from taints, it is with taints. So it is something that we need to investigate. And again, puñña bhāgiyā. It is actually partaking of merit. It is not unwholesome, even though it is with taints, it is not unwholesome. That is another significant point. And again, ripening in the acquisitions. Now, if one practices this kind of Sammāditṭhi, so he may get, if he is practicing it well, he may get good results. Acquisitions are the upadhi. So various types of upadhi, various types of acquisitions are explained in Dhamma. Suppose you do various some wholesome activities, accordingly you may get good results, karma vipaka. So therefore, few aspects are there in this first type of Sammāditṭhi. It is actually established in the wholesome side, merit side, and again it is producing good results, but still it has some taints. So these are something actually we can sort of differentiate between the mundane and the supramundane side. In the supramundane side, it is totally in the wholesome side, but it is free from taints, or it is leading to the eradication of taints. Now, in the first type, it may be established on taints, but it is wholesome and produce good results. Now, here Buddha give a brief explanation about this first mundane type of Sammāditṭhi in the Chattārīsaka Sutta. And there he mentioned, Atti dinnaṁ atti ittaṁ atti hutaṁ atti sukata dukkataṇaṁ kammānaṁ phalaṁ vipāko atti ayaṁ loko atti paro loko atti mātā, atti pitā, atti sattā, opapātikā, අත්ති ලෝකේ සමන බ්‍රාහ්මණා සමග්ගතා සම්මා පටිපන්න යේ ඉමංච ලෝකම් පරංච ලෝකම් සයන් අභිඤ්ඤා සච්චිකත්වා පවේදෙන්ති ඉති. So this is the explanation that Buddha talks here. Now if I take the translation, now what bhikkhu says the right view that is affected by taints, partaking of merit, ripening in the acquisitions. Now he asks the question and he is now going to answer. There is what is given and what is offered and what is sacrificed. Now this is where Buddha emphasized the value of generosity. Now you know, there are many people who like to generously give something. If someone is in need, so they have a mindset that I need to be compassionate to these people. I need to help them. I need to offer something. So this is something valuable and this is the generosity, dana. And this dana is of course therefore practiced in many different ways. Some people offer material things to the other party. Some people give their safety. Some people may offer medicine. Some people offer, say, various other, say, dwelling places. And some, as I said, offer safety and the health. So likewise, there are many ways of offering things. And some people, of course, give the dhamma, dhamma dana. Now, likewise, there are many ways of offerings. And here, the generosity is therefore Buddha fairly recommended and praised. So that is emphasized in this first section where Buddha mentioned there is what is given and what is offered and what is sacrificed. So people may go to a monastery, go to a temple or go to another place like orphanage or something like that, and they give a lot of things to their people there, monks there, nuns there, so that they will be also happy and they can continue their spiritual path. So likewise, whoever in need of various acquisitions, various requisites, one can go and offer. And not only that, even within one's own family, if one requires your attention, you can give that attention to that person. If one is in need of some sort of, say, counseling, some sort of association, some sort of goodwill, some sort of good words, encouragement. So all these are, in a way, a little bit of generosity, because we need to spend our time. We need to spend our attention. And that is a way of offering. So therefore, Buddha mentioned, it is a real worth type of offering, and it has actually the second part mentioned that it has the good results. There is fruit and results of good and bad actions. Now all these what I have mentioned are good actions. As a result, you may get good results. So actually we have discussed fairly comprehensively about the kamma, so I am not going to repeat it again. So kamma is the one emphasized in the second part of this statement. Atti sukata dukkataanam kammaanam palang vipako. Atti sukata dukkataanam palang vipako. So that is why Buddha mentioned there is fruit and result of good and bad actions. So if one conduct good deeds, one may get good results. If one use good words, one may get good results. And if one use good mental thoughts, mind thoughts, then again one may get good results. So likewise, we can get that simple formula. The good actions, either it may be bodily or verbal or mental, may produce good results. The opposite, if one do bad actions, either bodily, verbally or mentally, that may produce bad results. So this is where we have to establish ourselves on the kamma. Actually, this whole explanation fairly centralized on the kamma, teaching of the kamma. Therefore, sometimes this mundane type of sammadhitti also recognized as kammasakata sammadhitti, where Buddha talks and gives emphasis on the kamma actions. Now, the second part another part Buddha mentioned here. So he says, atti ayang loko, atti paro loko. So this is another part of Sammaditti he is talking. There is this world and there are the other world. Now here actually emphasis is given for the rebirth. Because you know, as Buddhists, we believe that this is not our the beginning of our life. We had immeasurable or uncountable number of previous lives. And Buddha mentioned that the beginning of the samsara is not possible to be known. It is not knowing. So it is not possible to know the beginning of samsara. We can't say 1,000 lives before I had my first birth. You can't say like that. We can't say million lives before I had my first birth coming to this being. So we can't say like that. So there is no such definite beginning of the life. So therefore we can say for many eons we are sort of traversing in this long samsara. So again, if we are not able to develop ourselves to eliminate the causes which is causing for this samsaric travel going on and on, then we may continue in the future as well. So therefore, if we are accumulating a lot of karma within this life, accordingly, we may get a future life. Either it may be wholesome or unwholesome, accordingly we may get the future life. So therefore here some emphasis is there related to the rebirth. Now as Buddhists we believe rebirth. Sometimes we can't really get concrete results or concrete evidence on rebirth. But with the advancement of the say science, many people, many scientists, psychologists, psychiatrists and various other people, they have conducted limited number of experiments going through various reincarnation cases, analyzing various reincarnation cases and trying to go through various hypnotism type of methods, self-hypnotism. So likewise various methods people have used, and again near-death experiences. So these are various areas that people recently introduced, and using this actually they have come across very good evidence that there is rebirth. But anyway, Buddha mentioned about rebirth. It occurs because one result or rather one cause is karma, the other one is that we have the tanha, the craving, and the consciousness is continuing, it is established. So as a result, there's a possibility of rebirth. So likewise in many suttas, Buddha talks about this rebirth, and therefore it also gives some emphasis on the karma. So if we have future birth, so if we live a good life here, then there's a higher potential that we may get a better rebirth. If not, if we spend a bad, unwholesome type of life character here, then there's a higher chance that we may get a bad rebirth. So therefore, it is also has some connection to the karma. So therefore, that is why this whole mundane type of samadhitti summarized as kammasakata samadhitti. That is the right view, fairly describe about the karma. Now here, actually, a little more elaboration I am trying to do. Trying to get some other aspects detailed in this mundane type of samadhitti. Now therefore, talking about this world and the next world gives some emphasis on the rebirth. So there is a possibility of rebirth, there is a possibility of next life. So therefore we have to be quite responsible, quite considerate about what we do, about what we tell, and about what we think, and how we spend our life in this life. And on the other hand, we had our lot of past lives, and again during those past lives we have accumulated a lot of karma. So therefore there is a higher potential that we may reap their results, and therefore, as much as possible, we have to live a meritorious life, a correct life, righteous life, so that we are not giving much chances for those karmic influence to reap results. Because otherwise, if we are spending a fairly low type of life, then a higher chance that all the past bad karma give their results, corresponding results. Now, the next part is Buddha mentioned Atti Mata Atti Pita. So, this is another aspect of Sammaditti, where there is mother and there is father. Now, this is where another interesting part that Buddha teaches about the gratitude. Now, we know that we all are born to our parents, and they are our first teachers, and they have a lot of sacrificed on behalf of us. So they, if we consider our mother, so they fed us, she fed us, and she looked after us when we were extremely weak. We are like in our infantry, and she actually take care of us. Again, father spend fair amount of time. He spend a lot of time in earning money and spending, taking care of ourselves, protecting ourselves, guiding us, looking after us. So therefore, mother and father, Buddha mentioned, are the first teachers. Now, there's a very beautiful sutta in Anguttara Nikaya. So where Buddha talks about the mother and father. So there is Buddha mentioned, Brahmati Mata Pitaro Pubba Chariyati Vuchare Ahuneya Cha Puttanang Pajaya Anukampaka. So there Buddha mentioned, mother and father are called Brahma. So this sutta, the previous sutta, the theme of this whole series I have taken as Brahma Sutta, Brahmana Sutta. So there are also some emphasis is there on the Brahma. And here, Buddha give another simile, that Brahma is a synonym for mother and father, to our parents. Brahmati Mata Pitaro. So therefore Buddha mentioned, because mother and father are called Brahma, and they are also called first teacher, Pubbacharya. They are the ones taught us once we started our lives. So we were completely helpless, and they have taken care of us, they have fed us, they have spent a lot of time, they have sacrificed their life, they have given us enough guidance, they have shown what is correct and what is wrong. So likewise, they have done immense help to ourselves. So therefore Buddha mentioned, they are the first teachers, and they are worthy of gifts from their children. So therefore Buddha mentioned, Ahuneya cha Puttanam. So they are worthy of the gifts from the children. And Pajaya Anukampaka. So for they have compassion for their offsprings. And again, Tasmahine Namaseya Sakkareyata Pandito. Now as a result, if one understand this very well, then he may take care and revere the parents, mother and father, and they give their respect, show their respect, and they honor the parents, and if once they become old, and one will take care of mother and father, and serve them with food and drink, with clothes and bedding. And if they are in a fairly difficult time, spending a lot of fairly difficult time, then one may attend to them, help them, bath them, massage them. And if necessary, one may get medicine, take care of them. So all these are showing the gratitude. Tasmahite namasseya sakkareyata pandito. Annena athapanena vattena sayanena cha Ucchadanena nahapanena padanang dhovanena cha. So one may wash their feet, one may bathe them, and if necessary, one may massage them, and one produce provide food and drinks, and all the bedding and medicine, and one may respect, revere them, give their due rest, due honor. And further, Buddha mentioned, Tayanang paricharyaya mata pitusu pandita idavocha pasansanti pecha saggecha modanti. So therefore, the person who actually taking care of their parents, because of such service, this wise person is praised by the other wise people, and again after that death he may rejoice in the heaven. So they also Buddha praised the gratitude and praised the looking after of mother and father, and again the person who did that have the good results either in this life or in the next life or in the future lives, and again Buddha connected to the karma because he has done a lot of good deeds and good actions, and as a result he may reap those results in the future. Now, looking after one's parents is therefore highly praised by the Buddha, and he himself has done that. So you can remember that once he attained the Buddhahood, so he came back to Kapilavattu and he preached Dhamma to King Suddhodana. At that time he became a Sotapanna, and after that again and again Buddha visited and preached him Dhamma, and he ultimately passed away as an Arahant. So this is King Suddhodana. And again, if we consider Mahamaya, so Buddha's mother, so she actually passed away after 7 days of the Prince Siddhartha's birth. And Buddha went to Thavatinsa in order to preach Abhidhamma, and there Mahamaya also attained Sotapanna. Now, there is another stepmother to the Buddha. So once Queen Mahamaya passed away, Queen Mahapajapati is the one looked after the Buddha. So at that time it is heard that Buddha actually established what you call this Bhikkhuni Sasana with the invitation of the Queen Mahapajapati. And Mahapajapati is the one actually got reverence from the Buddha. You can remember actually Buddha has never gone or sort of haven't done any kind of following up of another person, but when nun or the Bhikkhuni Mahapajapati is going to attain Mahaparinibbana, going to pass away, the great passing away, so there as a respect to her, Buddha went, followed her till the end of the Jetavanarama. So likewise, there are many instances that Buddha praised this looking after one's parents, respecting one's parents, showing them the path. So there are actually parents who are not that faithful, they are not that wise, they don't have enough knowledge, they may be spending their lives carelessly and not respecting the Dhamma and not taking care of much about their morality. So there are such parents. So if the children can show them the path, if they are able to develop their faith, if they are able to draw them to the Dhamma, so that is the best that we can do. So Buddha mentioned that if one is giving a lot of material support to the parents, that is not enough. Buddha mentioned that you can't repay your debt by simply helping like that. But on the other hand, if one is able to show the path, if one is able to develop their faith, if one is able to bring them to the Dhamma, teach them the Dhamma and give them a lot of, knowledge. So that is the only way that one can repay their debt. So this is something that we can recognize in this Sammaditti, where Buddha gives some emphasis on this gratitude. So therefore, this gratitude is not limited to the parents. And there are various other people who have immensely helped in our life. They may be our teachers, they may be our other, say, friends, Kalyana Mitras. So likewise, there are a lot of people actually helping us, guiding us, and especially treating us when we were weak or when we were ill. So we have to have some sort of gratitude in our heart. So if we simply forget all what the other people have done to us, so then we become fairly dry-hearted and we have no gratitude at all. So actually Buddha mentioned this quality, gratitude, is very rare in the world. So it is mentioned as katanyu katavedita. Katanyu katavedita. Katanyu means that one is become a person who is showing gratefulness, gratitude. And the quality of gratitude is called katavedita. So Buddha mentioned this katanyu katavedita is very rare in this world. And one can recognize if a particular person is a sappurisa, a good person, by looking at his this kind of a behavior. If one can remember even the slightest help that he got from another person, if he have some kind of gratitude for that, so that is an indication of a sappurisa. On the other hand, even if another people have helped immensely, maybe the parents, maybe the teachers, maybe the friends, if a person quickly forgets that and have no gratitude at all, so that is a mark of an asappurisa, a bad person. So likewise Buddha mentioned, so this gratitude is something to measure whether a person is a good person or a bad person. A good person always remembers what is the help that he has got from the others. It may be material support, it may be the guidance, it may be the looking after by someone. So likewise, in many different ways, the other people are helping us. And that, if one can remember, if one has kind of honest gratitude towards that, so that Buddha mentioned is an indicator that one is a good person. And then there's another part to this statement. Buddha mentioned attisatta opapatika. Now there are beings who are reborn spontaneously. Now in the human realm we know there is no such birth as kind of spontaneous birth, but in the Brahma realms, in the celestial realms, so that is the way of birth. So these are certain information that we can't immediately accept because we can't see such a thing. But here we have to have a lot of faith to believe these kind of teachings. So that is where the faith, saddha, is important. Even though we can't scientifically prove these things, there are enough suttas mentioning that celestial beings, Deva realm, and the Brahma realm, so those beings are spontaneously have their birth. And again, the last statement. Atti loke samana brahmana samaggata sammaggata samma patipanna ye imanchalokam parancalokam sayam abhinya sacchikatva pavedentiti. Now this is where Buddha connects this to the Supramandin Samaditti. This is a kind of a linkage here where there are wise people, there are Samana Brahmana who are spending spiritual life, and they of course establish well in the mundane type of Samaditti, and through their own knowledge, through their wisdom, they have seen more depth to the life. Now this is where some link is given to the spiritual side. Now all these previous explanation is fairly connected to the typical material aspects of the life. Either it may be doing good, using correct words, looking after parents and etc. So all these are actually, we can say, produce a good person. But on the other hand, So one's spiritual side is discussed in the last statement. So it is not only that one has to do all these mundane responsibilities and lead a good life, but also he has to look little more about one's own spiritual aspect as well. So there's a connectivity here Buddha takes to the supramundane side as well. So in other terms we can say, so this another link Buddha is making for Saddha, because we can't immediately know whether the other person is accomplished, is well aware of all these say truths. But on the other hand, we can have some faith without immediately denying it, rejecting it. We can have a lot of faith. According to this statement, there are such people, there are such wise people, there are Buddha, there is Buddha, there is his followers. So likewise here kind of a link is made for the spiritual aspect of our life. So this is also important because you know nowadays people are becoming more and more away from their religion, and sometimes religion also going in wrong directions. And instead of giving the people kind of a right direction, right guidance, so religions are also sometimes going towards some they are secular kind of rather say what to say mundane kind of benefits instead of guiding the people to more higher and sublime kind of benefits. Certain religions are sort of taking kind of a narrow approach, considering only their religion is correct, everything else is wrong, and everything else, all the other, those followers have to be sort of eliminated. So those kind of extremist views are also there. But on the other hand, people also have a tendency that they don't need a religion, they don't need any kind of spiritual guidance, any kind of spiritual aspect in their life. So they also go more and more towards the materialism. So these are the trends actually happening in the world. So more and more people are therefore, I think, they don't have a religion at all. That's a beautiful term for that. I can't remember that term. So many people are becoming who don't have any religion at all. But here Buddha talks, gives some hope here, telling that there are people who know better, who have known or penetrated this life, have seen some depth to this life, and there are such people. So here Buddha gives some indication. So we can say that this is an indication for himself. So the Buddha, the rising of Buddha is something worthy to the world, is an immense benefit to the world, and Buddha is giving this indication here. So there is Buddha, there is his followers, there is teachers. So this is a kind of indication for the spiritual side. So we don't need to restrict ourselves only to the material success. We can have some link towards the spiritual side as well. So if we believe in the karma, if we can understand we have traversed in this samsara for long, long time, from immense past, and if we are to continue this samsara, then we don't know what's going to happen. It's completely uncertain. So how to penetrate this samsara? How to stop this endless traversing, endless travel in this samsara? So there should be a path. There should be a way out. So this is where Buddha is giving us a hope. So if we can understand, okay, we have been in this samsara for long, long time, so then it becomes kind of a fatalistic thinking that there is no way out. We are like helpless victims of the this vicious cycle. But on the other hand, if when Buddha is telling, okay, there is a possibility, there are people who are known the way out. There is Buddha who has realized the path, who has shown the path. So then we have some kind of guidance, some kind of an awakening, thinking, okay, there is a possibility. We don't need to be a helpless victim of this vicious cycle. Rather, there is a way out. Now we have some potential to awaken to that path, to grow in that path, to start to follow that path. So this is where Buddha is taking a link to the spiritual side, and therefore even nowadays people are talking about SQ, spiritual caution. Immediate, very early days, they only consider about their IQ, intellectual quotient, and then they came to EQ, the emotional quotient, and now they are talking about spiritual quotient, SQ, because they understood even today that something is missing. People are well developed in their, say, material side, they may have a good job, their countries and the nations are well developed, but all are materially. And the wars and the battles and the arguments, they are not finished. And even today, the whole world is on the edge of a world war. Now, there are many sort of news going on related to the, say, Taiwan and related to that area becoming very, say, fragile. And on the other hand, there's another side going on closer to the Ukraine. There's another fragile area. So likewise, the whole world is on the edge of a kind of a world war. So even though the whole world appear like extremely advanced in their scientific development, extremely advanced in their material side, still people are not happy. People are more frustrated. More and more people become mentally sort of weaker, emotionally kind of wrecked. So therefore we can see something is missing. So there we need to understand, okay, just the material advancement, scientific advancement is not enough. There are other aspects of life that we need to think. So here Buddha indicates to another aspect, that is the spiritual aspect, and that is something that we have to look forward. So otherwise we simply try or limit ourselves only to the material achievements, forgetting about the spiritual side, which is much important in our lives. So therefore Buddha's teaching is a kind of an invitation for us to come and see. Ehi passiko. So Buddha's teaching invites us to come and see. Put me into practice and see for yourself. See whether it is bearing you, giving you results, good results. So likewise is a kind of an invitation, kind of a guidance, kind of an indication that there is such spiritual path available. And that is actually emphasized in this last statement of the mundane type of samadhi. So therefore, when Buddha discuss about this mundane type of samadhi, though it is called kammasakata samadhi, giving real emphasis on kamma, so there are other subtle aspects as well in this mundane type of samadhi. So why is it called as connected with what you call upadhi? That we can actually understand. Because if we are leading a good life, if we believe in karma, if we are responsible of what we do, then we may be doing a lot of good deeds, meritorious deeds. So as a result, we may get good results. So upadhi ve pakka. So the good results will be available. But on the other hand, if we are not considering like that, if we are simply leading a careless life, unwholesome type of life, then of course we have to bear the bad results. And on the other hand, if one is leading the correct path, correct view into this level, so it is punya bhagya. It may give partaking of merit. It generates a lot of merit. So your merit power is something important, because that is which actually helps to live healthy life, at least a kind of a comfortable life when we get a rebirth. If we don't have enough merit, then it's quite difficult for us to live a good life. We may be having a lot of diseases, we may become poor, we don't have good intellect. So likewise, there are a lot of drawbacks in our life. But if we have a lot of merit power, so that is also something advantageous. But on the other hand, why Buddha mentioned this is affected by taints? Because here still we are with the ignorance that we think that there is a person. That is, I have to be really moral. I have to do good deeds. I have to use proper words. Because still there is some ignorance, and that is what being discussed in the supramundane type of samadhiti. But anyway, in order to go to supramundane samadhiti, first of all, we have to be a good person. So it is true that there is a personality view is involved. That is where Buddha mentioned it is affected by taints. But without being a good person, without being a responsible, moral person, we can't think about another kind of supramundane type of samadhiti. So therefore, this mundane type of samadhiti give a lot of insights to our lives. So with that note, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.
Or you can also send them via chat. Bhante, one quick question. So when you talked about generosity, for example, the generosity of dana, of dhamma, is that also affected by the taints?
That also affected by what?
Is that also affected by the taints, and will it give rise to the ripening in the acquisition?
It can. One thing is, we can talk about Dhamma in many different levels. Say, for example, we can continuously talk about generosity, we can continuously talk about right actions with some limited scope, without giving much emphasis on Nibbana or the supramundane aspects. Say, we are constantly talking about Dana, constantly talking about how one give this and that, and then one may become rich in their lives and they got a better life in the celestial realm. So this is where, so we are giving more emphasis onto the material gains, even using the preaching, even using the Dhamma. But on the other hand, there are other deep Dhamma that Buddha has mentioned about, suppose the ending of the samsara, uprooting of ignorance, say talking about the Paticca-samuppada, talking about the supramundane aspects, Nibbana. So this is where the giving of Dhamma, the teaching of Dhamma, leading us more towards the higher aspects of the results. So therefore, so in a way it is kind of a gradual teaching. So that is why Anupubbi Katha, when Buddha come across a particular person, so depending on his capacity, Buddha start to preach. So Buddha don't immediately start talking about supramundane side. Rather, he talks about dana katha, sila katha, sagga katha. So likewise, he takes him to the correct path step by step. He talks about generosity, he talks about the morality, he talks about the being reborn in the celestial realms. Then he talks about the nekkhamme anisansa, the benefits of the renunciation, the giving up. So then the other aspects of the spiritual side. So likewise, Buddha's teaching, actually the preaching, Buddha's preaching actually is a kind of a stepwise process. So depending on the listener, so Buddha talks about step by step, talking about this kind of mundane type of samadhiti, and then taking him to the supramundane side. So therefore, it depends on what we preach, or what is the aspect of Dhamma that we talk has potential either to the taint, with taint or without taint.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. The next question, does it mean that the taints may gradually reduce the virulence if a meritorious life is led, but thought that only regular meditation will affect the virulence of taints.
Yeah, actually, in order to remove taints, just the meditation alone is not enough. So meditation actually is one key factor. But if you consider, say, Sabbasava Sutta, Buddha talks about 7 strategies. So when you are maintaining good morality, when you are maintaining enough discipline, so that is one aspect, one way of overcoming taints. Sangvara Pahatabba. So that is not only the meditation. So there you need to safeguard your faculties, what you are looking at, what you are hearing, what you are tasting, how you are using your faculties. So there we need to take care of ourselves. We need to guard our senses. So that is one aspect. And then when you are using various requisites, when you are eating, when you are wearing clothes, when you are, say, dwelling in your, say, housing and all these things, and when you are using your vehicles, your designation, etc. So all these requisites, when we are utilizing them, again we need to be careful. That is where patisevana pahatabba. So because these are the ways and means that we are making a self, we are making a lot of taints, we are fertilizing taints. But on the other hand, if we are somewhat careful of how we are using these various requisites, then we need to properly, wisely contemplate when we are using these requisites. And therefore, Buddha mentioned it is necessary to look after ourselves even when we are using all these requisites in day-to-day activities. And then there are some dangerous places, bad people, and say some hazardous places, incidents that we need to avoid. So there Buddha mentioned parivajjana pahatabba, where we need to guard ourselves. We don't need to purposely go to those say hazardous places, dangerous places, and we should as much as possible avoid bad people. So likewise, we have to protect ourselves. So that is some other side Buddha mentioned. And again, one has to have the correct view. That is yoniso manasikara. Instead of simply stopping at the surface level, we have to try our best to penetrate, to have a penetrative understanding. So that is where we need to have some guidance from the Buddha's teaching. And we have to consider about how we are thinking, the way of thinking. So that is where the dasana pahatabba. So how are we thinking? Are we thinking in terms of a self, well-established personality view, or are we able to calm down our thinking and allow the mind to sort of settle so that a different type of understanding going to be arise? So rather than simply try to think and think and think and to understand, so how about calming down the mind, calming down the thinking process, and if it is necessary to think, what is the proper way of thinking? So likewise, there are another aspect that Buddha talks. And then when there are, say, ill will, lust, ignorance, so those kind of defilements come to the mind, so rather than encouraging them, rather than simply driven by them, and Buddha asks us to remove them. Vinodana pahatabba. So likewise, and then only Buddha talks about the bhavana pahatabba, that we need to develop the good qualities in the mind, positive qualities in the mind. So therefore, these are various strategies Buddha mentioned. So all these strategies are quite useful. So we can't say only meditation is the only way to overcome defilements, overcome, say, taints. But there are other supporting strategies Buddha mentioned, and all those are also very important.
Thank you, Bhante. And the next question is, dear Bhante, is the practice of samadhi cultivating right view, and is this right view affected by the taints?
So, can you repeat the question, Jennifer?
Sure, Bhante. So the question is, dear Bhante, is the practice of samadhi considered developing right view, and is it affected by the teens?
It can be because you know if we are practicing concerns, say samatha samadhi, for example. So this is actually discussed in the Sappurisa Sutta. Suppose you are developing samadhi concentration. So if we don't have proper attitude, probably you can create conceit because of this samadhi. So there Buddha mentioned the one with samadhi but with a wrong view in a way, and one is sort of looking down the other people. So I am the one with the first jhana, the other don't, others don't have first jhana. So likewise, you can measure the others, and you can look down others, thinking about your or taking the samadhi as a kind of a permanent possession and something to admire, something to make a kind of a conceited mind. So therefore, samadhi is considered as one way of having conceit in a way. So therefore, it can be a upadhi, it can be a taint, and there are other sides when one has some deep samadhi. So there one becomes sort of attached to it, and then one start to practice in order to attain that samadhi, to have that blissful experience. So there again the kind of an attachment is there. There again we are developing bhavasava. So we are able, we like to become that samadhi. We want to be in that samadhi. So there's a craving towards that. And on the other hand, if we are attached to the samadhi and if the samadhi is sort of dominating, so then one loses the balance. So one loses the balance of mindfulness, the monitoring side, the wisdom side. So because the samadhi has come to the front. And there are a lot of disadvantages in that such practice. And if you refer Brahmajala Sutta, there Buddha mentioned more than 40, I think around 44 wrong views are for the people who are with deep samadhi, deep concentration. So these are in a way certain pitfalls that we need to be careful of. So having samadhi is also quite important, but properly managing it and balancing it with mindfulness and wisdom is also extremely important. Otherwise, what happens is very much like we become driven by the samadhi, we become a slave to the samadhi, and we start to have a kind of an affection towards the samadhi. So these are the areas that it can lead to taints.
Thank you, Bhante. So based on what you said, I guess the same could be true of even Vipassana practice. If one does not have the right view, the right intentions in the practice, although if we continue with the Vipassana practice, then eventually it may eliminate the taints. Is that correct?
To some extent we can say yes. That is where Buddha talks about vipassana upakkilesa, 10 types of upakkilesa. We can say vipassana taints or vipassana, what's the upakkilesa? There's a term for upakkilesa. Those are a kind of hidden tendencies, we can say. So assume that you get a good samadhi, then you can have an attachment to that samadhi. You assume that you get a lot of say mindfulness even. So probably then you can even be conceited with that mindfulness. You get bright light. You can attach to that bright light. You can get even panya. You can look down the others because you feel that I am more wise than the others. So likewise, all these, even the good qualities, if we are not properly managing them, if we don't have kind of a humble attitude, so then probably it can lead to taints. So that is where actually in the vipassana practice, if we are leading the proper vipassana, then the possibilities of wrong direction or wrong what to say, the possibility of misleading is very less. But on the other hand, if we simply ignore the Buddha's teaching, if we simply ignore the other's guidance, and if we simply consider thinking that I know better than everyone else, only my view is correct, everyone else's views are wrong, so that is where we go wrong. So I can remember even when Most Venerable Mathera Sri Jnanarava Mahathera was mentioning that always we need to have that humble attitude, and again we have to somewhat underestimate our achievements. Rather than overestimating ourselves, it is better to underestimate our achievements. Because if we overestimate ourselves, probably we might think, okay, I am a stream winner, I am a sotapanna, I am a anagami. So likewise, we immediately give a lot of titles to ourselves. That actually leads to have more personality view. Instead of penetrating the personality view, we become a special person. But Buddha's teaching helps us to understand that this the path is in a way somewhat delicate, somewhat we need to lead a careful, we need to lead it in a careful manner, and time to time we have to refer the Buddha's teaching, and we have to have always kind of an introspection, kind of an inward attitude, how the mind is looking like, what are the defilements available, where the self-view is generated. So likewise, it's a kind of a more humbling kind of a practice. So Buddha's teaching does not take us to, I mean, if we are practicing it properly, Vipassana practice, if we do continuously properly, then it is making a kind of a humble person instead of a high-headed, conceited person. So it may lead to a kind of a humble person because it is more humbling. So ultimately, what one will understand is that this whole eye-making, mind-making, conceit, all these are kind of illusionary natures. Those are happening because of the ignorance, because of the delusion. So therefore, so the Vipassana practice have a better potential or higher potential to avoid the taints. So, but on the other hand, there's a higher chance in the samatha practice. If one is getting deep samadhi, deep concentrations, there's a higher chance that one may get conceited. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. I'd like to invite Tutor Devi to please ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Bhante, I think you might have partially answered my question, but after a while, we need to let go this sila and dana and sila. I mean, because anyway, we have cultivated it and move on to the supramundane. Isn't that right, Bhante? To try to lose this I, mind, myself, because that is without that, we can't get anywhere, no, Bhante?
So why you need to completely get rid of dana and sila?
No. Shall I reword it? It's not because whenever we have the chance, we can do the dana and maintain sila. And I think after some time, it becomes a part of your way of life, I believe.
Yeah.
But sometimes, we can get stuck at the dana, sila, bhavana level, and not try to move beyond that because we think that's the way to go about it.
Yeah, that
that's
I agree.
What I was trying to say.
Yeah, that I agree. So if we limit ourselves only to the mundane type of samadhi, that is where we stuck in. So we are only happy with being generous and helping others and etc. So we are not thinking about any spiritual aspect. So that is actually sort of wrong. So therefore, I also agree with you. So one has to become a good person. One has to let go of all the, say, bad actions or attitudes. And one has to come to the correct side, to the good side. And being there, one should not limit oneself only to the dana, sila, etc. But rather, once when one is developing more meritorious power. So the spiritual side is further enhanced, has to be strengthened. So that is where, in a way, in this explanation also, Buddha is taking that lead. That yes. there are some people, Samana Brahmana, who have penetrated this world, who have some better understanding about what's really going on. So likewise, there's a kind of indication for, or even a kind of an invitation for us for a spiritual side in ourselves. So all human beings have this potential. So therefore, Buddha sort of encouraged that here. But on the other hand, when we are leading that spiritual side, so we should not neglect the sila, or we should not neglect the sort of generosity or gratitude or etc. So as you said, we may give more emphasis on the supramundane side, but that doesn't mean that one look down the mundane type of samadhiti.
No, Bhante, I think after a while, you kind of keep on doing these things, but then we have to make a shift to looking at this, to go into the Satipatthana, the four Satipatthanas, and make a determination to be able to come to that level of looking at this I, mine, myself.
Yes.
To the way that the Buddha taught.
Yes, exactly. So that is
otherwise where we can't reach the goal, Bhante.
Yes, that is right. So that is where we slowly understand. So now I have some merit power, but it may lead me to further rebirth. How to stop this? So then I have to have
yes.
a different way of looking at things, and how to, and that is where the vipassana comes to the picture. Yeah, how to penetrate this eye-making, mind-making and the conceit. So that is a kind of a turning point in our practice. So that without that kind of a penetrative wisdom, one can't stop the going on and on, or the vicious cycle.
Yes, Bhante,
yeah.
Because actually I used to get very good samadhi, but I realized that we can enjoy that a lot, but then we had to go beyond that. And,
yes.
So now I concentrate more on the vipassana and try to improve that aspect of it, because that's the only way to get wisdom. Is that right, Bhante?
Yes, yes. I totally agree. Yes.
Yeah,
and again,
and though the enjoyment, samadhi is very enjoyable, but we have to move on, no, Bhante?
Yes, yes, definitely. And again, now at the beginning, sometimes we unnecessarily hold even the sila. So that is how it becomes silabbata paramasa. So we start to hold it, grasp the sila. But later, when one really into the practice of the vipassana, slowly one may understand the limit. Instead of grasping it, instead of making it a kind of a hindrance, kind of a tension because of the sila. So the sila becomes one's kind of a inherited or kind of inherent kind of a quality, and one can maintain a sila without much of a hassle, without taking it like a burden. So likewise,
yes.
one may start to balance the sila. So therefore, that is why it is mentioned that when one becomes a sotapanna, so the silabbata paramasa is left out, but that is to the level the paramasa. So that is to the level that the grasping level, the holding level, clinging level is given up. But one may have one's own natural kind of sila. So it has become kind of an inherent quality. So it is mentioned in the other suttas like Panchavera Bhaya Sutta, that one now protects five precepts as a kind of an inherent quality. So he doesn't need a lot of endurance or striving to protect it, but it has become one's natural way of life.
Yes, Bhante, because I think most of us who are practicing the Dhamma, we are going that way. I mean, of course, we are not perfect, so sometimes we can slip on the seed and the thought or the word could have been better or whatever, but then we are still working on that.
Yeah.
But while we are working on all these things, which are now coming better than what it was when we started practicing in the beginning, we also have to strive, I think, with Virya and Adhisthana for the fact that we have to go beyond. Otherwise, we will be left behind, Bhante.
Correct, correct. Definitely, definitely. So that's why Buddha doesn't stop at this mundane type of samadhi. He gave emphasis to the supramundane as well. That is why we need to leave. I mean, we discussed only the mundane type still, but there is another side we need to discuss, definitely.
Of course, Bhante. But I feel that we have to hold the mundane and supramundane, hold the hands of both and move forward.
Exactly.
So sure, we have to, as you explained, we have to start with the mundane, otherwise we go nowhere.
Yes.
But I think most of the people who are now in this group and majority are going within the striving in the mundane, and now they must hold the hand of the supramundane as well.
Yeah. Both as you have correctly mentioned. So both have to be considered. Both have to go hand in hand. And then we can have a say successful tour in a way. Yeah.
Yes, Bhante. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. Welcome.
We need that encouragement, Bhante. Otherwise, it's very we are just stuck in the same place, and
exactly.
That's also not good, Bhante.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay. You're welcome.
And I'd like to invite Preet to please ask the next question.
Bhante, I have two questions. One thing I always, it's my idea. Whenever I do something, I never think that I should get something back for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if I'm doing that, it is increase my craving rather than decreasing it. So I don't expect anything back when I do that. And is that the correct way to do? I'm talking about dana or anything, that if we help somebody, I feel like if I'm expecting something back, it's like I'm doing a business,
Exactly.
I mean?
Yes. I agree with you. So that is how we are slowly enhancing ourselves. So people are sometimes expecting something in return, and again they again and again reflect about their good deeds. So that is sometimes it has benefits. Say for example, there was an old custom of reading the pink potter. So one has maintained the list of good deeds what has done, and again and again one is reflecting on these good actions, good deeds one did, and that way one is rejoicing on these good deeds. So that is in a way one is further enhancing and rejoicing on what one has done. So that actually enhance in a way the merit power. But on the other hand, it is connected with taints, because you believe that there is a person, there is I, so I did this. I did this good deed on this particular day. So likewise, we are sort of emphasizing the personality view. But so that is where Buddha mentioned very categorically. So it is connected with the taints. This is connected with the taints. But on the other hand, when one step into the supramundane side, so one will understand, okay, I have to penetrate this self-view. So this self-view is something that generating some kind of a frustration. So it is a cause of suffering. So rather than promoting this self-view, I need to understand what is really going on. So there, even though one may conduct meritorious deed, maybe dana, whatever it is, so one does not promote the self-view. Assume that you may give something to a beggar or whoever. Then after a while, if you get a second view telling you, okay, you did the best thing, you because of you that now he is happy, and you are the one who is quite generous, the others are not generous. So likewise, there's a kind of praising kind of a second thought arising in one's mind. If we start to promote it, then we are in a way promoting the self-view. So when those thoughts are generated in the mind, we need to understand that, we need to recognize that, And there we need to ignore that, or rather we need to recognize and leave it aside, rather than using it to promote a self-view. So that is where the Chittanupassana is quite important. And that is where Buddha mentioned that we need to understand this ahankara, mamankara, mana anusaya. So we need to understand while watching the mind, how this I-making happens. How this mind-making happens. How this conceit is being generated. So actually when we are stepped into the wholesome side, it is not the unwholesome deeds making a self, but more and more the wholesome deeds start to make a self. So this is a kind of a controversial point in a way, where the wholesome deeds, the wholesome deeds that we didn't start to come to the surface and try to make a self out of that. So that also kind of a bottleneck, or that of a kind of a pitfall that we need to understand. We should not allow those, even the wholesome deeds at this level, to make a self. So this is actually contradicting to the previous level that I have mentioned, that one is thinking, reflecting by reading the Pimpota and making a self. So that is some side. This is one side. Now we are in a different side.
Exactly, I agree 100%. I experience that almost every day while I'm meditating, because I try to promote myself, but, I'm still struggling how to stop it, because in a way it helps me to go move forward. And at the same time, I always see how I make a person out of it and try to self-promote.
Yeah.
So I'm in between, I'm struggling there. Because I have to motivate myself somehow to
yes.
do that.
Yes.
And at the same time, I'm self-promoting. So
yeah. So this is a kind of a So what you are telling is exactly true. So this is where we need to have a lot of wisdom also, because simply kind of self-denying is also not the correct approach. So if we start to self-denial kind of approach, so that is also kind of an annihilation then. But that is not the path. So we need to have a lot of wisdom. So so this wisdom support, the kind of penetrative wisdom support is quite critical to understand, okay, so how, say for example, if we go through Dhatu Manasikar, so you are having experience a lot of say element characteristics. So more and more one observe these element characteristics within one's own body, so one will understand, okay, there is no kind of compact anything. Now this it's a accumulation of a lot of element characteristics. Constantly they are arising, constantly they are passing away. So likewise, when you are more and more going through such experience, so then you can't have a self out of that experience. Because to where are we connecting to a self? Where is an individual here in this kind of an experience? Because everything is arising and passing. Everything is very vulnerable. Everything is extremely transient. On this kind of a transient nature, where can I establish a person? Where can I have a I? So likewise, the mind starts to question. Similarly, if we are sort of observing various feelings, so all these, it may be pleasurable feeling, it may be painful feeling, it may be equanimous feeling. So all those also have the nature to arise and pass away. So where can I have a permanent self? So likewise, when one is continuing one's Chittanupassana, so there also one may understand all these thoughts have the nature to come and go. So which thought can I have as permanent self? Because all are coming and going. The morning I have some thought, next minute I have another thought, another minute I have another thought, in the evening I have entirely different thoughts. So likewise, which thought may I call it as I? So likewise, more and more when we have that kind of a vipassana practice, so the mind start to question, the wisdom start to question. So then one may understand it is not a permanent self, it is not an existing self, It is a kind of an illusionary self. It's a kind of a mind-made self, which we are trying to prove. It is not an existing self, rather a mind-made self that we are trying to prove. So then we can find out where the mind is making this self. So that is where Buddha is taking us. I make in mind making. Ahankara mamankara mananusaya nahonti. So if one is have constant observation on one's own mind, so then one may understand how the mind is trying to trick us. How the mind is trying to delude us by making a self, attributing it to this and that. As you mentioned, how kind of a self-promoting thoughts are appearing. So at that immediate level, if we are able to penetrate those thoughts, so that is where we slowly stop that eye-making and mind-making. So this is a kind of a very beautiful path in a way. It is not a kind of a self-denial or annihilation kind of approach. Rather, one will understand the reality by kind of a continuous observation.
When we observe rising and falling of skandha, and when rupa skandha it disappears, then we end up having sanya, rupa sanya, and then I take that as me. That sanya is me. That no rupa. I can't feel anything, but now that is that sanya is there. And then you ask us to look at vedana and sankar like that. So each one that end up having those sanya. Can we observe rising and falling of sanya too? I don't know how to do that.
Actually, rising and falling, or simply actually when you are observing your own mind, the appearance of sanya can be sometimes noticed, and sometimes what happens is not the immediate appearance is noticeable. Sometimes we start to attach a thought onto it. We start to recognize it.
We start to recognize
many of the initial thoughts that we are attaching to those sanya. So those thoughts are fairly noticeable. And then we can allow them to pass away rather than promoting it.
Okay. Yeah. So then the empty state, what you are talking about, at that state, don't we have even sanya, or do we?
So that is actually well explained in the, say, Kalahavivada Sutta. No, na sanya sanyi, no pi asanyi, na vibhuta sanyi. So likewise, Buddha discuss this point whether, I mean, in that proper state that Buddha mentioned, the typical mundane type of sanya, the signs can't be. Say, when you are in that proper emptiness, correct emptiness, you can't have mother, father, brother, sister, flower, and this and this and that. So the typical mundane type of conventional sanya, you can't have. And on the other hand, it is not that you are in a kind of a extremely, insane, hypnotized, or before the anesthesia type of state. That is also not the point. That you don't have sanya at all. So that is also not the point. Hope you are following me. Complete annihilation of sanya is also not the point. So likewise, Buddha very beautifully avoids those extreme kind of levels, wrong levels, and then he brings us to a very kind of awareness. So awareness is there, but no mundane, typical, gross perceptions, sanya. And it is not complete annihilation of sanya. So likewise, he clears the path.
Yeah, so when you have that state, I feel like I am trying to protect that state, like I'm watching it like I don't feel free there. I think I'm doing something wrong there.
Yeah, actually, we first of all have to establish in that level, because that is assume that without establishing well, you can't maintain it. So first of all, we need to establish it. So in that level, you can protect it. You have to protect it. But later, once you are well established on there, then you have to allow thoughts to come, allow the mind to freely move. As a result, you are using that state as a kind of a reference, as a kind of a baseline to recognize all these ups and downs of the life, ups and downs of the mind, the defiled nature, defilements of the mind, and you are using that nature, using that empty nature as a kind of a reference.
Okay. Yeah. Very clear, Bhante.
Okay.
Bhante, may we ask one more question?
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to invite Tanti to please ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, my name is Sam.
Right.
My question is related to Kammasakata Sammaditti and Lokottara Sammaditti. My understanding is there's no clear transition. You can practice Lokottara Sammaditti while you are practicing Kammasakata Sammaditti. Am I correct in that?
I can agree with you, because this doesn't mean that we have to perfect the Kammasakata Sammaditti first, and then only you are allowed to go to Lokottara Sammaditti. We can't say like that. So we can say so, because they are interdependent, we can say. So if the one helps the other helps this previous one. So they are self-dependent, we can say, and enhance in the other side. So the Kammasakata Sammaditti helps us to well develop the Lokottara Sammaditti. When one is developing Lokottara Sammaditti, one may understand the value or the fertilizer, strength that one may gain through the Kammasakata Sammaditti. So they are helping each other.
Right. Thank you, Bhante. Theruvan Sannai.
Yeah, Theruvan Sannai. Okay, I think we have spent 1.5 hours in this Sutta teaching session, and we have spent this time usefully talking about the Buddha's teaching and discussing Buddha's teaching. And with this way, we are able to accumulate a lot of merits, and we share these merits with all the passed away relatives, all the celestial beings, and whoever in need of merits. Let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.